86 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Tsleil-Waututh, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Okapcha Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of indigenous knowledges and traditions. All right, the next meeting of Students' Council will take place about a month from now on Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017, at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers. Just one note for all of the committee chairs. If you can send me a list of attendance for all of your committees, for all of your meetings, that would be great, so we can determine whether or not, unfortunately, if anybody needs to be removed from standing committees. Right now, I think some people on council are close, so we'll see what happens with the next couple of meetings, but we may also have some removals on council, so stay tuned for that. Also, I say this at every single meeting, but I'm still continuing to hear a few trickle in. If you are not getting the order papers for the late editions for these meetings, you would have gotten the main order papers on Friday via email and the late editions today. If you are not getting those, please let me know so that you can be added to the council mailing list. We're working on getting the website back up and running because we were having some server problems, like Rebecca emailed you all, but if you're not on the council email, you wouldn't have known that. So we had some server issues, so we're trying to make sure that everything gets kind of loaded back up onto the server so that the main agenda and the late editions get posted on time onto the SU website. So with that, the only other announcement that I have, actually I have two more announcements. The first one is on the late editions. The motion that's on the late editions, item 7A, is actually, I was talking to the chair of the policy committee and reviewing the changes that are being made to this policy. This motion is out of order, basically. This motion needs to come back through first and second reading because you're making changes, substantive changes to the policy as opposed to editorial changes. So you're not changing wording, you're actually changing things within the policy. So that needs to come back through first and second reading. So hopefully we'll get to see that at the next meeting of Students' Council. Also, in question period, Councillor Sunday did ask a question to Vice President Bushnikov, and it was redirected to Vice President Patches. He did give a response. So once we get to question period, I'll make sure to read that response aloud so that everyone is kind of aware of the answer and the response, basically. But just thought I'd let you all know that. And with that, we'll take attendance very quickly. I think the live stream should be working. Hopefully the audio is working today as well. So I don't think anyone's tuned into the live stream, but we have it up anyways. So we'll start with attendance with President Bannister, Vice President Scott,
Present.
Vice President Larson, Vice President Patches,
Here.
Vice President Bushnikov,
Here.
Governor Sundari. Governor Sundari here.
Here.
Councillor Lefferson.
Present.
Councillor Chu.
Here.
Councillor proxy for Councillor Gitta.
Sup. Sorry.
It's all good, don't worry about it. Councillor Hassan. Councillor Piasecki.
Here.
Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Councillor Lilo.
Here.
Councillor Liu. Councillor Swain.
He's trying to connect to the live stream, but it's like not working for him.
Councillor Palamdas.
Here.
Councillor Howell.
Hi.
Councillor Ferris.
Here.
Councillor proxy for Councillor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councillor Wong. Councillor Kanawi.
Here.
Councillor Sorensen.
Here.
Councillor Hamid. Councillor Brophy.
Here.
Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Councillor Gridiroli. Councillor Flannan.
Here.
Councillor Kwan.
I'm wrong.
Oh, proxy for Councillor Kwan, that's right, sorry about that. Councillor Howie.
Here.
Councillor DePinto.
Here.
Councillor Mahal. Councillor Kim.
Here.
Councillor Jones, or proxy for Councillor
Here.
Jones is here. Councillor Wang. Councillor Choi.
Here.
And I'm here, the general manager is not. See if Councillor WhatsApp group again so that maybe Counselor Swain can tune in that if he's having issues with the link itself. So let's move on to the agenda for today's meeting. We'll move on to presentations, of which there are none. So we'll move into executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think I can speak on behalf of all the executive when we say we've been busy over the last few weeks. I've made some good progress on some of my projects, especially around the syllabus database, and as well, in addition, I guess, some work on looking at OERs and open educational resources on campus. So that's very exciting. I'll save an update on nominating committee for not the committee updates. But yes, just steady forth work with what we've been doing for a while.
Thank you very much, Counselor Scott. We'll go next to Vice President Hushabat.
You guys, I'll echo what Vice President Scott said. We've been quite busy meeting quite a lot of executives all across Alberta as well, which has been really informative and quite fun as well. Some of my projects, some updates. For the event calendar, as stated in my report, InfoLink actually has one, and it's pretty cool. You can find it on the SU website and give a link for that. We're trying to bring it up to more forefront and trying to get it more utilized to see, and then we're also collecting data to see how much students use it and how much we want to invest in it as well, because if it is something that students are heavily using, we will try to grow it and make it more efficient. And potentially look into software for it as well. Regarding the Campus Activity Board, this is the board that will bring new events throughout to the Students' Union every year. Job application for the chair should be up within this week. So that's pretty exciting. Once that's up, I'll give you guys a link, and if you guys could share it, that'd be great. And the other thing I was going to mention is I did talk about the mental health website. We actually have a name for it, and it's UASU Cares. So it should be coming online within about a week. So I'm really excited to share that with you guys, and yeah, that'll be something I'll be talking about lots in the next council meeting we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Ushkov. Vice President Patches, did you wish to make a report? All right, wonderful. So we'll close out executive committee reports there, and we'll go into board and committee reports. We'll start with Councilor Brophy and the audit committee.
All right, since our last meeting, audit has not had a meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Brophy. We'll go next to Councilor Christensen for an update on bylaw committee.
Thank you. Bylaw committee didn't meet last week, but we did our but we did meet after the last Students' Council meeting. We prepared two bills which are on the agenda for today. One of which was a referral to bylaw committee after it had already been to fix up one thing. That's bill number two, and then bill number three is new. We also will begin the process of reviewing all the bylaws as per standing orders, and that process is going to take us through September. And then we'll begin working on dedicated fee unit questions and faculty association membership fee referendum questions as well.
Thank you very much, Councilor Christensen. We'll go next to Councilor Sunday for an update on the Council Administration Committee.
The only thing I have to report besides what's in my chair's report is that I'll be utilizing section 19.2 of the Council Standing Orders more, and that just says that if a councilor is absent for three consecutive meetings, the cat chair will notify the councilor's faculty association if they don't have a proxy or attend by other means. So that's all I have to report.
Thank you very much, Councilor Sunday. We'll go next to Vice President Patches for an update on Finance Committee. You're on microphone, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee met once since council last met. We met yesterday, and we ratified the students at large that will be sitting on the Students' Union Awards Adjudication Committee. And then we also had a discussion about food options on campus. Finance Committee, the way that we've been running Finance Committee so far is that we'll have our general our items of business, and then we usually use it as a bit of discussion board for things relating to SU budgeting procedure as well as the SU's businesses. So if anyone's ever interested in those, feel free to come attend and join in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Vice President Scott for an update on the nominating committee.
Yeah, so nominating committee did meet this time. So I am happy to report that we did meet last week during our council schedule time to discuss and nominate students at large to the Green and Gold Awards Adjudication Committee, as well as the Health and Dental Committees. So there was a request that came through for just student largest, so we fulfilled those. And I have a meeting in August with some people from University Governance who were curious about our nomination process for vacant student GSE spots following by-elections. So stay tuned, I'll give a report on that as well.
Thank you, Vice President Scott. We'll go next to Councillor Howie for an update on the Policy Committee.
Thank you. So Policy Committee has met twice since our last meeting. It's been busy. We've talked about, we've done like all of our check-ins and our renewals, and we're gonna get some of the stuff ironed out from today in our next meeting, which is next Monday at 6:30, and we're gonna be talking about both the financial assistant and the deferred maintenance, as well as setting off our fall schedule. So yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Councillor Howie, for that update. We'll go next to Governor Sundari, if he can provide a report.
Governor Sundari is currently having technical problems.
All right. So if he wants to provide a report, he can, we'll just delay that till whenever he's able.
Yes.
Do any other members of any boards or committees wish to provide a report? We'll go to Councillor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick update from PACRA, the First Alberta Campus Radio Association, on behalf of CJSR 88.5. On behalf of the board, we want to congratulate Umar Salihu for winning an award for his work on Generator. I can't remember the name of the award off the top of my head, and I don't have it in my meeting minutes, but congrats. And we also have our dates for the FACRA Casino that's going to be happening later this year in part of our annual fund drive, November 25th and 26th at the Argyle Casino. If anybody wants to volunteer, feel free to reach out and we can connect you with the volunteer coordinator at the station. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. We'll go next to Councillor Sunday.
The Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Ad Hoc Committee last met on Wednesday the 19th. We're continuing to go over the standing orders for the proposed committee. We meet again tomorrow at 6 in sub 606. We'll probably be going over voting membership, having non-council members on the committee, and just the general makeup of it. Oh, it's 5? Okay, well, don't listen to me. Besides that, I don't think I have anything else to report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Are there any other members of any boards or committees who should provide a report? We'll go back to Vice President Patches. Probably Governor Sundari can provide a report now.
Yes. I will provide a report on behalf of Governor Sundari. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. He has nothing to report, except Board of Governors is on hiatus until September, but there will be a Board of Governors retreat on August 23rd.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Vice President Patches slash Governor Sundari, for that report. Any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report? Seeing none, we'll close board and committee reports there, and we'll move into open forum. So just because we have a few extra proxies at today's meeting, I'm just gonna quickly go through a couple of things. Open forum is a time for guests of Students' Council, so students, members of the public, whoever, to be able to ask questions of members of Students' Council, either councillors or members of the executive. So what they need to do is just sign in with the speaker as a guest, and then they can ask questions during open forum. We don't have any registered guests, so I'm just gonna see if anyone has any questions for open forum. Excuse me. Seeing none, we'll close open forum there and go into question period. So to differentiate question period from open forum, question period is from one councillor to another, so one member of Students' Council to another. So that's the only difference between open forum and question period. So like I said, Councillor Sunday had a written question for Vice President Ushakov. Do you believe the current hours at the Students' Union bars is counterintuitive to the notion of bringing students back to campus? Vice Vice President Patches had a response by email, which I have here below, so I'll read it out. Thank you for the question, Councillor Sunday. One of the Students' Union's highest priorities is sustainable business and fiscal responsibility. During the summer, we see a distinct drop in sales at both Room at the Top and Dewey's simply because there is a fraction of the students on campus. In order to remain profitable, we close Dewey's and reduce the hours of Room at the Top. Bringing students back to campus is a goal that stretches across all facets of the Students' Union. Ensuring our operations are sustainable, however, takes priority to a growth-focused goal. Councillor Sunday, did you have a follow-up question for Vice President Patches?
No.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So we'll go into any oral questions that anyone would like to ask of other members of council. Are there any questions for question period? Councillor Sunday.
My question is to the Vice President Academic. In the President's report, a meeting with Steve Dew is discussed and mentions an update on mandatory Indigenous Studies classes. Since the Vice President was at the meeting, could the Vice President please go into more detail as to what that update is and what the university's stance is on mandatory Indigenous classes? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Vice President Scott, go ahead.
Thank you for the question. I don't have my notes from that particular meeting in front of me right now. Unfortunately, they're back in the office handwritten. From what I do remember from the meeting, we had asked the provost, Steve Dew, around kind of what the plan was moving forward for supporting Indigenous students on campus, as well as what the stance on mandatory Indigenous content was. The answer we got wasn't the most concrete of answers, which was I think disheartening to hear. The angle I think the university is, or the direction the university is moving towards, is a more decentralized mandatory Indigenous content course, so it would be more built into faculties. So, for instance, he pointed to faculties in education, nursing, that already have some Indigenous components requirements in courses that would kind of be mirrored in other faculties.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. Are there any further questions for question period? Seeing none, close question period there, moving right along here. We'll go into board and committee business. Bill number 2, Joe candidates, first reading. Councillor Christensen, seconded by Councillor Brophy, moved to approve the first reading of Bill number 2, Joe candidates, on the recommendation of bylaw committee based on the following first principles. The first principles are listed in the main agenda and also can be found up on the screens. There are quite a few of them, so I'm doing my best to include all of them in this shot. So, Councillor Christensen, would you like to provide an introduction for your motion? Go ahead.
Thank you. This bill was brought forward to the last meeting of Students' Council about 1 month ago. There were some concerns highlighted with respect to the choice of name and what truly defined a Joe candidate. So the changes with respect to this proposal was that we've redefined what a Joe candidate will be. That will include their preferred name, an individual preferred name, as to cover for people who might be have a different name if they have a transgender. If they're transgender, they have a name that they prefer to go by, or if they're from a different ethnicity and have an English name that isn't their legal name. So we think that will address all the other concern that was brought up. Otherwise, everything else following point number 3 is the same as it was when it was proposed last time.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We'll open up item 7A to debate. Is there any debate on item 7A? Seeing none, we will go to a vote. So once again, for those people who this may be their first meeting of Students' Council, the voting system should now be live, so the microphone in front of you should have a few flashing buttons. A plus is a vote for, minus is a vote against, and the 0 is an abstention. Please vote now. And voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 24 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted at all? Wonderful. So that motion carries. So we'll move on to item 7B, universal materials. Christensen, seconded by Jones, moved to approve the first reading of Bill Number 3 on the recommendation of bylaw committee based on the following first principles. Once again, the first principles are listed in the order papers. Councillor Christensen, did you want to introduce your motion? Go ahead.
Thank you. So this is Bill Number 3. It seeks to address universal materials, which is a component of SU election bylaw that governs items that the elections office deems to be things generally available and therefore not counted against people's budget. There was an attempt to overhaul this system last year and create a separate budget component for universal materials so that people could pursue other options outside of what the CRO has chosen. That method was not really followed or followed in part, and then there were some changes that weren't even what was written in the bylaw that were done. So in an attempt to make things simpler, we've redefined it similar to the old way, but more clearly worded of what exactly a universal material would be. If in this new version, it'll be provided by the chief returning officer. The list will be provided in the nomination package, and any materials not on that list will therefore not be called a universal material, and the candidates will be expected to purchase them out of their main budget, and their main budget will be their only budget. Otherwise, it's fairly straightforward.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 7B? Councillor Troy.
Had this list of universal materials that would be provided in each election, is that something that we already have compiled?
Thank you very much, Councillor Troy. We'll go to Councillor Happy.
As a member of bylaw committee, I can tell you no. It has not been compiled yet, and we'll definitely be looking at that and working with the CRO to determine what is appropriate in that list.
Thank you very much. Is there any further debate on item 7B? Seeing none, we'll once again go to a vote. So again, the motion is Christensen, seconded by Jones, moved to approve the first reading of Bill Number 3 on the recommendation of bylaw committee based on the following first principles. The voting system, excuse me, should now be live. Please vote. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 21 in favor, 2 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Great. So that motion carries. All right, so we'll move into, I believe, our last item on tonight's agenda under general orders. Christensen, seconded by Howie, moved to change students' council practice, precedent, and custom by allowing students at larges, and other non-students, councillors, executive proxies, designates to serve as voting members of students' council's standing committees. Councillor Christensen, did you want to introduce your motion? Please go ahead.
Thank you. Unlike other motions brought before Students' Council this year, Motion 8A is purposely worded openly and without specifics. The importance of this motion will ultimately be in the debate that ensues and the decision made by Students' Council. The ramifications of this general order will inform the principles of Students' Council and the Students' Union for the rest of this year and potentially many years to come. The motion is simple in its wording, but the results could greatly change the nature of whether the Students' Union remains a representative democracy or shifts in a new direction. Today I ask Students' Council to debate and rule on if the institution should make a fundamental change in its strategic direction. Should the Students' Union change its practice, precedent, and custom and allow students at large and other non-students councillors, executives, designates, and proxies to serve as voting members on its standing committees? I ask that we debate the merits of this change on the principle rather than the specifics, and discuss the benefits and disadvantages and make a simple choice of yes or no.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 8A? Councillor Howe, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This might seem a little counterintuitive because I'm one of the people moving this forward, but I will actually be voting against this motion. I do believe in the merits of a representative democracy. I think that as standing committees of Students' Council, our standing committees are therefore extensions of Student Council, and the decision being made there should be as elected representatives who were elected by their constituents to represent their views. And so I will be voting no, and I encourage you to really think about all the ramifications of this and go beyond just a one certain case or a couple of cases. It is a complete change. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howie. We'll go next to Councillor Sunday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Although Councillor Christensen had said not to go into specifics, I will go into specifics of the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. If this is voted as a no, it would mean that the Aboriginal students who are proposed to sit on the committee will not have will not be voting members of the committee. If we look at what reconciliation is and what it means to us, reconciliation should be above. It should be a paramount concern, and it should be something that we all strive to do. If by voting this motion yes, we are saying that we do not, in fact, hold reconciliation to that esteem, because it continues with the status quo of allowing non-Aboriginal people to vote on Aboriginal people's lives, how they're represented, without giving them an actual voting seat. So for the purpose of that, I will be voting yes, because I think it's extremely important to let Aboriginal people be able to represent themselves. And we've been told time and time again that non-Aboriginal representatives don't represent Aboriginal people's values, and this will be, at least in my mind, reaffirming that notion if we vote this down. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. We'll go next to Councillor Brophy.
Yes, I think in general, there is sort of a distinction for me between whether we're talking about voting or non-voting members, because I think in general, if due to a scope of whatever the committee might be, it's useful to have sort of it's useful to have people who might not be elected representatives around, in particular, giving them standing so that if things go in hammer, they're able to continue to be there. But I do think that it is a very rare situation in which giving voting members to somebody non-elected is not an elected part of student council is appropriate. And I think in those cases, it's best if such a individual is part of a separate elected group that is sort of cooperating with the SEO or whatever it may be. For instance, last year there was some work towards potentially get altered audit committee so that the GS, so we'd be able to collect money from grad students and residences, which would require GSA to also have representation audit committee. And that's the kind of thing that I think should have outside people like that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. We'll go next to Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, when I first found out about this proposed discussion on Friday, I was a bit taken aback because it's such a massive change going from a representative democracy to whatever might end up afterwards. I tried reaching out to as many constituents as I could to ask them what they thought, and almost unanimously the answer to me was, if we allow students at large to sit on committees, why bother having elections at all? And it's just about everybody I talked to said they were all against it, because they're fine with the system we have now, and I tend to agree. I think I will be voting against this motion as well.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flamin. We'll go next to Councillor Palandet.
I will also be voting no towards this motion. Allowing non-student council members to sit on these committees will remove pretty much all aspects of accountability that we have as elected officials of our faculties.
Thank you very much, Councillor Palandet. We'll go next to President Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this motion as I believe this allows our Students' Council to work alongside, shoulder to shoulder with stakeholders across campus in making important decisions that we do. Ultimately, I think this comes down to who will and will not hold power at a committee level. And I think if we're going to be working alongside different groups like Councillor Sunday had mentioned, we need to ensure that they are equals at that committee level. And that's why I will be supporting this motion.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. We'll go next to Councillor Sunday with your second speaking turn.
I just wanted to say that I agree with Vice President Scott. By not allowing, particularly in the case of the Aboriginal Relations Committee, by not allowing the Aboriginal members of that committee to have voting rights, creates a power disparity in which continues the same rhetoric that's apparent in which non-Aboriginal people have the power over Aboriginal people, even though it's a committee about Aboriginal students. Also, I'd like to say that if this is voted down, any relationship building that may have, both in the future and present, that has been done between Aboriginal students and the Students' Union will be destroyed. I know for certain that if Aboriginal students do not get voting rights, they will not be part of the committee. And I myself would also not be part of the committee. I think it's important. Aboriginal students think it's important. They told us they think it's important. And if we vote no, we are saying, well, it doesn't matter what you want. This is how we're doing things. And I don't think it's right whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. We'll go next to Councillor DePinto.
I would just like to say that I will also be voting against this motion. I do believe that inclusivity and engagement are very important parts of what we do, but I also believe in the value of a representative democracy, and I think in principle it doesn't make sense to go ahead with something like this. You don't see bodies like City Council, for example, opening up Executive Council committee meetings to the public to come in and vote. So in principle, I don't believe that this could work, and I will be voting against it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Pinto. Our next speaking turn goes to, I believe it's Councillor Howell.
Yeah. So I'm kind of mixed on this motion. I think that to vote down this motion is almost to scare away from the opportunity to have more voices at the table and to scare away us having the power. Because I, in my personal opinion, I do think that as counselors, we don't consult with our constituents enough, and quite often we vote on what we think is best versus on what we think that our constituents would think would be best or how they think we should vote. And so I think that if this motion doesn't pass, that's one thing, but then I think we also need to look at like an engagement policy or how can we better engage with our students, our minorities, or our faculties, and that kind of stuff if we're not going to allow them to have a voice at that table or on committees. So just a thing to think about.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howell. We'll go next to Vice President Patches.
This will actually be his first speaking term of Board of Governors Representative Sunder. Go ahead, Mike.
Very strict distinctions between which committees can and which committees can't. So maybe the possibility of Oaks Council again, you know, saying that like this committee doesn't want non-voting or non-council to sit on and to have a vote on and bring that to council for a vote to approve. I think that we should only have that for very particular committees such as the Aboriginal Reconciliation Relations Committee is one where frankly I believe that we need the voices of Aboriginal students to make anything worthwhile happen. One way or another, we're going to be subject to consultation. One way or another, we're going to be looking for the approval of those students on the recommendations that we want to put forward with that committee. And because of that, I think it's simple enough for us to say that for that committee in particular. And in my mind, only that committee as it stands right now, should we be able to have students who are non-counselors really have a vote. So I will be voting in favor, but when we try to figure out how this works, there are a lot of certainties that I want to make sure happens before it fully goes through. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Sundari. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen.
Thank you. So this topic has, this isn't the first time it's come up. In 2015, when I first got involved, there was a commission called the Governance Review Task Force, which looked into this same issue. And they proposed that one method of engaging students was to allow them to sit on standing committees of Students' Council. At that time, it was resoundingly rejected at the Council Administration Committee, citing multiple issues with representative democracy and the like. Today, we come forward with it again, and the reason I brought this forward was because I believed it was important that the last time the decision was made, it was made by CAC, and this time that all the Students' Council hear it and make a decision on the direction in which we're going. With respect to the composition, while it was brought up about the Aboriginal Relations Committee, I believe when we make a change in policy like this, the ramifications are felt across the board. As soon as you allow standing membership to hold voting seats and students at large, you have to wonder, so it's this committee, and then when we say that, oh, it can't go to a bylaw committee because it'd be good to engage students there, or audit committee because it would be good to engage students there. Perhaps Aboriginal students have thoughts there, perhaps LGBTQ students have thoughts there, perhaps international students have thoughts there. Furthermore, there's many distinct groups on campus that could inform opinions of the Students' Union through their own committee of Students' Council or on the already existing committees. And where do we draw the line? Do we say we allow, for example, one example brought up the Aboriginal Students Reconciliation Committee. We allow them. Next, we hear from international students, which we've been hearing from for many years. Do we create a committee for them as well and allow voting membership for them? LGBTQ individuals on this campus, they face discrimination, they face problems, they come to Students' Council. Should we create a committee that has voting membership for them as well? I don't know what the right answer is. That's part of what is going to inform today's decision, because if we do proceed with this motion, I think the door is open and we'll need to consider consulting with other groups, special interest groups on campus, and potentially creating standing committees and allowing voting membership for those blocks as well. While having voting membership, the reason we're even discussing this is that voting membership comes down to standing committees, and that is what is happening, for example, at the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. It's not to say that if that committee becomes a standing committee, people would have to have voting membership. There is other types of committees that could be created that not necessarily standing committees of the Students' Union where voting membership would be permitted. At this point, the only thing restricting it is the bylaws of the Students' Union, which state standing committees have defined membership of voting. So with that, I will be voting no to this motion, and will be happy to entertain, at whichever direction goes, ways to ensure that all members of Students' Council, all members of this university.
presumably with his first speaking turn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So after reading this motion, I thought quite long and hard about it, and what I essentially, because of the nature of this motion being addressed as trying to look at this as high level as possible, that's what I challenged myself to do. So what I did is, through the course of the last couple of days, I consulted a lot of individuals, including some individuals within our staff, about how could this actually work? Like, if there were individuals that were not elected onto our Students' Council, which is, for all intents and purposes, like our board of directors of the Students' Union of a $15 million not-for-profit, how would these individuals be protected if anything were to occur? And so one thing that came to light is that the Students' Union holds officer and director insurance currently. And what that insurance does is it covers all staff, executive, and elected council members should the Students' Union be sued for any decisions that are undertaken by the Students' Union. So for example, there's a decision made at a committee of elected representatives, and that decision results in a situation in which a lawsuit occurs. They are covered under the insurance we have because they are elected. The one thing I cannot guarantee, and due to time restraints, I wasn't able to dive any further into this, is that I cannot guarantee that a non-elected individual on a committee would be able to be covered under this insurance, which to me is quite scary, that a non-elected student at large could essentially be faced at risk because they were on a committee of Students' Union. I hate to see that happen, so of course, I'll task myself, if this continues forward, I'll task myself with ensuring to find out more information on this, but I'd hate to see something like that occur. One of the other things that come up, and I think they're addressing further things, is what kind of non-elected individuals on committees, would they be subject to the same confidentiality agreements that we all sign? How would we deal with them taking the oath that we all govern ourselves on? Because a lot of the way that we conduct ourselves in committees and in Students' Council is by this oath. This oath tells us to make everything about the ideas and not about you, to help represent your constituents. And that's a really important part of Students' Council, and I hate to see that somehow fall through the cracks. One other point that I'd like to bring up is that one thing that I've seen in my 3 years on Students' Council and my 6 years on campus is that our university has an especially steadfast culture of consultation. While with some policies, well, we don't have any necessary infringe things in bylaw or a policy saying you must consult this group and making that group when making this policy, I've seen from experience that if consultation on necessary things does not occur, there is significant backlash from the community and from council. Just to take, for example, in the past, we had an internationalization policy come last year. And unfortunately, the international ISA was not consulted, and it didn't move through. They're tackling it again this year. And I trust the culture, and I trust the elected representatives of Students' Council to do that for any motion, bill, and or business that concerns a group on campus that must be consulted.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll jump next to Vice President Dushik.
I'll jump back to accountability. I think it's one of the biggest topics in this conversation is just general accountability. We all get elected. We all have to say an oath, and it's really hard to wrap my mind around having students at large in all these different committees, because this would affect each and every committee. That it would be really, really difficult to enforce that a student coming on and being accountable for their actions. Right now, each and every one of us represent a large demographic of students. When we do something, our actions are reflected beyond that. But those individuals on these committees would not have that. So it's them committing an action based on their individual principles, where in theory, everything we do should be based on our representation to students. Sure, we could be doing better. I think Councillor Howell brought up a really good point that we potentially should look into engagement policies, looking into ways that we as counselors and executive work closer and make sure we do extensive consultation, because when it's not done, you do get a lot of backlash, just like the internalization policy. But I think for me, it's accountability, and with accountability, it's a very difficult subject, and for that reason, I will be voting against this motion.
Thank you very much, Vice President Uzhukov. We'll go next to Councillor Brophy with your second speaking turn.
Thank you. So I think there's been some excessively apocalyptic rhetoric from both sides in this issue. I think that at the end of the day, a vote is not necessarily equal to a voice. I think we can have people's voices heard without necessarily having them as voting members of committees. But I also don't think that allowing people who are not elected to student council to sit on committees, whether voting or not voting, is suddenly going to open up floodgates of liability or mess up other existing committees. I am certainly skeptical of some, particularly the numbers listed in the committee that's considering having non-council members sit on it, but there are times when having a standing, sitting presence from a particular niche group might be useful to the purpose of a certain committee. So, despite some leeriness with a lot of the details, because I'm somebody who likes nuance, having to compress all the nuanced possibilities and permutations that such a system could take, I will be voting yes on this, because there are some slim situations in which having, I would say, usually non-voting, or at least elected from a different, or at least elected representatives from a different elected body working in tandem with student council, could be a valid situation, and could be something we wouldn't want to have to block because to sit in tune with a non-nuanced blanket policy of only members of student council. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. We'll go next to Councillor Howell.
Hi. So I just have some thoughts that I have been noting as discussions have gone on. We're talking a lot about representative democracy, and that's kind of what we're, or that is what we're based on right now. But I want to actually know if we're fulfilling that representative democracy, and if we can recognize our own fallacies in that, and whether or not we're actually saying what we're doing, or what we're elected to do, what we take oaths to do. I agree to Councillor Christensen's point about how saying yes to this opens up complex situations down the road, but just because the road ahead will be more work or will be more complex, does that mean that we shy away from it, or we say, oh, we don't want to do that work, or that will be complex because it's hard? One thing that we talked about, I don't remember which committee I was on, but it's governance can, like, we can change our policy, we can change our bylaws, we can change anything, like, we have autonomy over what we choose to do. So, in by choosing this and moving forward with this, if this happens, we can look into making all voting members take oaths, making sure that they're held accountable for their actions, all that kind of stuff, all their vote, like their voices. And then also, voices equaling votes comes back to consultation and engagement, or rather, voices equaling votes, that, like, they can come to committees, but they still have their vote. I do think that comes back to a power dynamic, especially pertaining to the Aboriginal Reconciliation Committee. And everyone comes with a different background, comes with a different worldview, and if we're ignoring those voices based on the work that's ahead of us, is kind of what I've seen, and the complexities that are ahead of us, I think that we should be looking more into the potential that this can have versus the hardship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howell. We'll go next to Vice President Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I won't deny that this is precedent changing, and I do not think that changing precedent is a bad thing. I do believe there will need to be mechanisms of control of who can and cannot vote at a committee level, but I think ultimately that is committee business. And I don't think that means closing the ability for student at large to be able to vote. And I think, while in principle this may seem like it might be wrong, I think we need to look beyond that principle and at the real implications of this. We will not be able to have voting members who identify as and who are often elected representatives for Aboriginal students to be able to have a voice on these committees. And this will also, beyond that, this will also have broader implications for future committees, ad hoc or not, that deal with marginalized and oppressed groups. We have to look at our capacity as representatives to represent our most marginalized students, and we do say consultation a lot, but I do not think that we go far enough to consult. Further, I do not think that a voice and a vote are equal, and historically I think that that's quite prevalent in traditionally marginalized groups. I think our current structure and voting against this will limit our ability to represent those students, and ultimately I believe this will allow for voting in favor of this would allow mechanisms of building consultation into many of our committees, whether we want those or not. My favorite SU value is do what's right, not what's easy. And if marginalized groups voice the need to have a committee to represent their needs, I personally will not stand in the way.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. Is there any further debate on item 8A?
Can I ask a question?
Is it a question to the speaker?
Yes.
Yeah, what's up?
How many speaking turns can I have?
Two.
Oh, I can only have two.
That's correct.
Then can I also ask for a call for division on
Well,
this?
yeah, we'll do that when it comes time for voting. But thank you very much, Councilor Sunday, for bringing that up. So we'll go next to Councilor Christensen.
Thank you. Some final remarks I wanted to say with respect to this topic. It's not, I don't want to dissuade people because it would be hard work to implement voting membership or voting other committees. You know, it is never an issue with getting work done. It's about where do we draw the line? Like, do we have 50 committees? Do we have like 100 committees? Like, how many is a reasonable number? As students, we have diverse populations within each and every one of our faculties, and I think with the appropriate consultation and with the appropriate time, these issues can be sussed out from your voting base and brought to the table. Furthermore, with respect to committee membership, at any time, standing committees without any change to Students' Union bylaws can appoint as many non-voting members as they see fit. That is well prescribed within bylaw and totally allowed. So people can have voices at the table and can be heard. And depending on the way a committee sets up their structure, if, for example, in a consensus model, there might not even be a need for formal voting if it's purely consensus. And that can be up to the decision of each individual committee. So instead of I think we should focus on using the existing mechanisms we have rather than rewriting and redoing everything just for the sake of an particular issue at hand. Again, I really question if we do go in this direction. I think it would be totally reasonable to further engage students, that we should have non-voting, or we should have non-elected students on every committee to provide a unique perspective that might not otherwise be heard. That is not in keeping with representative democracy, but you know, it might be a good idea. And if we do entertain this change, then I think that will have to be a reality that we accept along the way.
Thank you very much, Councilor Christensen. We'll go next to Governor Sundari.
Hello.
Go for it.
Now, okay, perfect. Thank you. This has been a very good debate. There's been a lot of things said on both sides that I think that we should all take into account. However, I do believe that it is the duty for council to protect and include all voices on campus. As BP's talk said, there is an extra community of voice and a vote. This is something that we can provide. To Councilor Christensen's earlier points, because the council has already spoken on this before, I believe that adds even more pressing for us to do something to actually try and change this. We've talked about this issue, we've looked at this issue in previous councils, and it's come back to this point as well. And I think that this is the point of time where council needs to take action. I think that it's only right for us to try to innovate the system of democracy that we work within. We should try to push things to make them more inclusive. The way that we've done things in the past haven't been all right, but they're not anywhere near perfect. I think that the only way to actually create change is to take action. This is action that we can take. And I would like to remind council that I don't believe this will create a domino effect. I don't think that by allowing one particular standing committee special rights and special privileges in the time of need, this will not make all council committees fall suit. In fact, I think that we should take steps to protect against that. We should ensure that there are only certain committees that are able to bring in voting members that belong to the councilors.
Thank you very much, Governor Sundari. We'll go next to Councilor Piasecki.
Just leave it on these pages.
I guess like I'll start off by saying like I don't know how I'm going to vote yet, and I think part of that is like deciding like personally like how like whether or not like inclusion and reconciliation are part of representative democracy or whether or not they can be separated, and I'm trying to figure out like how much of like my internal dilemma is like blinded by my white settler colonial privilege, and like I don't know how much that is affecting the way I'm looking at this, and I think that's like a little bit scary. But I think like because I don't know how I'm going to vote, I think it's important that we all just like think about like how well we are a representative democracy. It is a representation by population in terms of faculty density. And so like because we're representing our faculties, we're not necessarily representing students that are excluded, whether formally or informally, historically or by coincidence. And I think if we're thinking about like how like as an arts counselor, I have five like I don't know how many of us there are. Like that number of counselors to think and hear that many voices, well as for example, like in nursing has one counselor to hear every single voice of every single student they're representing. So I think like we just gotta think about that because I don't know what to do, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, so it's the end.
Thank you very much, Councilor Piasecki. We'll go next to Councilor Howley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for this very good debate. I mean, we're talking about things that really matter here, and that's what I think Councilor Christian and I were really trying to get at with this. We really wanted to like see how everyone felt because like Councilor Christian said, 2 years ago this wasn't the case. This was not this much of a conversation. It was a resounding no. So I think it was a really great discussion. I thank everyone for that. And then lastly is like my own personal remarks. I have to kind of throw it back to what Councilor Flamin said originally. I too went and talked to some people both in my faculty and in other faculties, and every member of the students' union that I spoke to replicated this resounding no. They felt the folks that I spoke to felt that they elected representatives for a reason, and they elected representatives that they could trust, and they elected us to represent their views, and that they can come and talk to us, and they trust that we'll go and talk to them. So at the end of the day, I think that this is a conversation around whether or not we should be doing a better job. That's a pretty solid yes, we should be doing a better job. But I just think that end of the day, for me, it's a no on this matter, and I hope that we will still, regardless of how this passes, we'll be able to still move forward in a way that makes sense for all of our members. So yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Howley. We'll go next to, excuse me, sorry, Councilor Geddes, Councilor Designate. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? So yeah, you know, it's quite a contentious debate that we're having here so far, and you know, this is quite a very contentious motion, and you know, there's a lot of complex ramifications that can come out of this. But in terms of, because I'm currently communicating with Natalie as to how this matter should be approached. She told me in terms of, like, could we just apply, for example, because there is a lot of important ramifications as well that we have to take in mind when we're voting for this motion, and in terms of addressing and giving greater voice to marginalized, you know, groups out there. So in terms of that, could we just apply that rule to, for example, to make exceptions for the Aboriginal Reconciliation Committee and the fact that because it's a committee that's meant to give Aboriginal students a greater voice in, you know, in student matters. In terms of that, I think doing so would, you know, also solve the problem of the motion completely and, you know, in terms of undermining the notion that the SU is a representative democracy. So yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councilor Choi.
So when I was listening to I think the second time that Governor Sundari spoke, he spoke the phrase, and I think I've seen the phrase a couple more times back around in this debate, was the fact that they said that a voice is equal to a vote, right? And I think the fact that we all have a vote, both on council and committees, comes with the implicit idea that we are ultimately accountable through, well, basically the biggest mechanism is an election every year, right? the idea of us having a vote should always be coupled, like, the idea of any person having a vote on council or on committee should come implicit, an implicit mechanism for accountability. And the only, like, the biggest mechanism we have for accountability is being the fact that we are elected officials, and that we are ultimately accountable to the voters, the all the students at the UNN. The fact that a non-elected member of this, a voting non-elected voting member of this of any committee wouldn't have this kind of accountability is why I will be voting against this motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Troy. We'll go next to Vice President Batches with his second speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So throughout this debate, one reoccurring fact has come to me and come to me multiple times, and it's come to me multiple times throughout my entire time on the Students' Council. Every year, one of the biggest points in platforms for both councillors and for executives are engagement with students. Everyone talks about ways in which they'll engage, ways in which they'll do it, and then ways in which they will, and some councillors act on it, some councillors don't. That's just a matter of fact. And I think one of the obligations of Students' Council, one of the obligations of all representatives, be that here, be that in Alberta, be that across the country, is to engage their constituents. And the reason I believe that it works, representative democracy, more or less works in other areas, such as in the province or municipal, that is because engagement happens. People hold town halls, there's all kinds of stuff that happens, whereas members of Students' Council, I think, could be challenged to do more of that. So what I think is happening here today, and the way that I'm framing this debate in my head now, is that what worries me about allowing non-elected members to be voting members on standing committees is that this may or may not essentially create another excuse as to not move forward with consultation. I believe it's been brought forward that we could do a better job in consultation, and what worries me is that councillors may see this as, okay, maybe I don't have to do this consultation because students at large are on these committees. So what I'd like to bring this back to is, Vice President Scott said it well, in that we have to do what's right and not what's easy. And it's not going to be easy to solve the issue of having proper consultation and proper engagement with the student body. But I think that's the real question here, and I think that's the real debate. I think we can, I don't, I am, I'm going to be voting against this because I am not in favor of students at larges, of student, lar of non-elected individuals, and non-elected individuals having a vote, have voting in committees. However, I am in favor of tackling the larger issue, and I'm not sure what the correct route could be. Maybe this could be a discussion in CAC. Of how can we properly empower our elected representatives to conduct proper consultation, be that through education, be that through other methods of empowerment, be that through fiscal. And I will make a commitment as Vice President Operations and Finance to come to those meetings and talk about how to properly empower councillors, as I did last year when we increased the budget of the Council Administration Committee to address this issue head on. So I think that is the larger issue we need to tackle here, and I challenge us to take that one on.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Councillor Wilson.
This is a bit of a contentious decision for me. Sorry, excuse me, I've been losing my voice for the past week. I'm going to, as some of you may know, I'm going to the Cortona campus in Italy coming in the winter semester, so I believe that this decision, I'll definitely be clouded. As exciting as it is to have that opinion coming from across the world, I do believe that my decision would be cloudy because, as much as I would love to call in for these kinds of meetings, the practicality is 2 in the morning local time, I'm not always going to be available to call in, so I will be looking into other options. So that's why I think I'm going to abstain from this vote, and I just wanted everyone to know why.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wilson. We'll go next to Councillor Piasecki.
I have a question for the speaker, and
Absolutely.
that's like whether or not like this vote can be postponed or if it has to happen today.
No, it can certainly be postponed to a later meeting of Students' Council, to the next meeting, so that everyone has a little bit more time to think about it if that's what council feels. We can go through that if you'd like. But just to kind of give, it's basically like just to table the motion to, I would say, like, if you want to take table it to a definitive period as opposed to tabling it indefinitely, because tabling it indefinitely just means that you kinda wanna not consider the motion at all anymore. So, let me just double check here. Just give me a couple of extra seconds here to get some more information. I think it's just a simple majority, and it is debatable and amendable. Yeah. So the motion does require a second, is debatable, is amendable, and just requires a simple majority. So it's just a motion to table this to whatever you want to table it to.
Can I do that for next council meeting? I don't know anything to do with the processes for this.
So, if you're alright with this, I'll word your motion for you.
Yes, please.
So Councilor Piasecki moves to table this motion to the next meeting of Students' Council, which is, let me just double check the date here, which is August 22nd, 2017. Is there a seconder for this motion? So with Councilor Geddes, Councilor Designate. So we'll go into debate on that motion now. So Councilor Piasecki, do you want to introduce your motion to postpone this motion?
Yes, please.
Go for it.
I think, like, back to the concept of talking about, like, using our voice for the vote, whether or not, like, other people are in the same boat as me, or whether or not I'm just a bad counselor, like, I don't know, but I haven't talked to the people that I'm supposed to be representing, so if I'm supposed to use my vote to bring their voice to the table, and we have to vote today, I feel like I'm gonna have to, like, abstain from voting, because if I vote, it will be my vote, not the vote of the people that I should be, like, voting for.
Thank you very much, Councilor Piasecki. Is there any further debate on this motion to postpone this motion? Councilor Sunday?
I'm definitely in favor of postponing this motion. I wish for it to be postponed so that I can discuss, speak with every student council. At the next meeting, I will try to bring as many Aboriginal students that I can, whether it be from Aboriginal Student Council, the NSSA, and across campus. And when we are voting on this motion, I want everyone to look us in the eye and tell us, no, we don't matter, and that we don't get a voice. And I want you to look at us when you do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Sunday. Is there any further debate on this motion? So again, just to clarify, the motion is to postpone motion 8A to the next meeting of Students' Council, which is August 22nd. Yes, Councilor Howard.
I guess I'm just wondering, because I know that it's still early on, and that, like, it sometimes takes a while to, like, get in the swing of things when motions are presented. It's the reason that the agendas are circulated early, and the sooner that we can move forward on this, regardless of the outcome. Either way, there is work that needs to be done here before the committee that we are talking about most needs to start passing stuff. So if we're postponing all the way till the end of August, I just don't see how that's conducive towards moving forward in this individual committee's, like, process here, because they only have till the 1st of October to get some stuff done. So I personally feel that this should happen today, but I understand, and if it's the will of council, obviously I'm more than happy to talk about it again.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howie. We'll go next to Councillor Howell.
I think with the issue at hand of the committee that's being talked about the most, I think that we should be consulting our Aboriginal constituents and how they feel about this. And I think this shouldn't be at the will of council, but at the will of our constituents. And I think that we should be talking to our constituents about this and not worrying so much about the bureaucracy and dates and deadlines and such.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Lebo.
Thank you. This whole discussion has been very focused on, like, a particular situation, and I don't think that's reflective of what this huge ideological motion is suggesting. So if this is about a particular committee and we want to talk to them, I think we're talking about a different kind of motion altogether, in which case I think we can vote on the motion presented right now, and this discussion we're having is important, it needs to be had, but in a different
framework, 'cause we're not really answering like it's two very different things in my mind. One is very high level and one is very specific. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lebo. We'll go next to Vice President Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support the motion to postpone this. I think as Councillor Sunday mentioned, I think we do need to start thinking about, and I think Councillor Howell also mentioned it, we need to start thinking about who this will, even though it's on a large, broad kind of ideological scale, I think we need to make sure we're thinking about who this will affect most and ensure that we do consult those different constituencies, be it the Aboriginal community in the context of the ad hoc committee, but what this could also mean for groups moving forward.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. Just to let you guys know, the whole time we've been doing this, I've been prioritizing people who have not had yet had a chance to speak. So if you find yourself pressing the button and it's your second speaking turn, I'm prioritizing people who have not yet spoken. So just wanted to make sure that was very clear. So we'll go next to Councillor Christensen.
Thank you. I too would be in favor of continuing with the debate today and voting on the motion. I made every effort to submit the motion as early as possible and so that we made it to the agenda here so that councillors could make an attempt to inform their decisions in advance. No one emailed me about further information about this motion or the particulars or how it might affect one way or the other. I am very receptive to email and would have replied immediately to any comments about the motion. And in future, if there is thoughts that it would take more than one meeting, please, you can always let the person moving the motion know and we can move to take it off the agenda before discussion so that things are addressed before we consider the motion, just for future reference.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We'll go next to Vice President Fatis. Or sorry, Governor Sundari.
Go for it, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, so with the Sunday motion, I agree. I was once told by the board chair, Michael Fair, that if a council is unsure, and I kind of get the feeling that there are some people in our council who are unsure which way they want to go and which way they don't want to go, that it's always best to take some time, collect yourselves, revisit the motion. Because of I will be voting in favor of postponing this motion till the end of August. I think that gives us all more time to talk to constituents and to talk to non-Aboriginal students, Aboriginal students, and to really get a feel for where we stand. This is a very, very big change that we're planning to make, and I think that it's really good for us to take the time and properly consider it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Sundari. We'll go next to Councillor Sunday.
Oh, sorry, never mind.
Okay. Any further debates on the motion? Again, the motion at hand is to postpone item 8A to the next meeting of Students' Council. So when debate is wrapped up, we'll vote on that motion, and depending on the outcome of that motion, we may have to vote on item 8A at this meeting. Hopefully that's clear. Is anyone unclear about what's going on right now? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Let me just double check with Councillor Simone here. Don't do that right now. Okay. All right. So there's no further debate on this motion to postpone item 8A. So we will open up the voting. The voting system is now live. Please vote. Councillor Swain, if you're still there, just text me your vote or something. All right.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Did you receive Governor Sundari's vote?
I did. I did. Just made sure to double check my phone for that. So the voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 14 in favor, 11 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? All right. So vote. That puts the total up to 14, like I said. So that motion carries. So this item will be tabled to the next meeting of Students' Council, which will be August 22nd. With that, I think we've exhausted our debate or our points for this evening. Once again, to the Vice President Larson / Councilor Piasecki for your motion on the late additions / to the policy committee in general. Please submit that motion in first and second reading so that council can consider that. And we'll take attendance really quickly and we'll let you all go. So, President Bannister, Vice President Scott,
present.
Vice President Larson, Vice President Patches,
here.
Vice President Ushakov,
here.
Governor Sundari is here.
Here.
Councilor Lefferson,
present.
Councilor Chu,
here.
Councilor Designate, Councilor Gitta, Councilor Hassan, Councilor Piasecki,
here.
Councilor Wilson,
here.
Councilor Lilo,
here.
Councilor Liu, Councilor Swain, I think is still here. Double check. Still here, wonderful. Councilor Palandet,
here.
Councilor Howell,
here.
Councilor Ferris,
here.
Councilor Thibodeau,
here.
Councilor Wong, Councilor Kanawi,
here.
Councilor Sorensen,
here.
Councilor Hamid, Councilor Brophy,
here.
Councilor Christensen,
here.
Councilor Sunday,
here.
Councilor Britteroli, Councilor Flannan,
here.
Councilor Kwan, or approximately Councilor Kwan, Councilor Howie,
here.
Councilor Pinto, Councilor Mahal, Councilor Kim,
here.
Proxy for Councilor Jones,
here.
Councilor Rachel Wong, Councilor Choi,
here.
And I'm here, the general manager is not. Meeting is adjourned.